Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boy Flip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Lafayette Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWineMaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Del Boar Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Plus people are happy because it's not raining.
Yeah, for once.
Once.
It's, yeah, I think it rained earlier, but not like it has been.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how much rain we've been getting. We have we call it the moat. It's a retention pond or whatever you want to call it behind the house. And that thing's raised up about 2 feet in the past month, I guess. And it's been a lot of rain.
Here we are.
But not raining today. Bus people are happy. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, very good. We are, if it is August the 11th and around 7 p.m., we are live. So you can give us a call on the guest line if you want to join us on air at 646-727-3235. Give us a call and we'll take you, maybe put you on the air. Who knows? Talk about wine.
Yep.
With us. Yeah, yep. Give us a call anytime. During the show.
646-727-3235. Operators are standing by. So
that's right.
Give us a call on that. And I don't know, I think that's New York.
Yes. Yeah, I think I think it was New York last time I checked.
Yeah. Because I got a call from a solicitor trying to sell me something, I don't know. And I asked him, I said, where are you calling from? He said, I said, what's your phone number? He says, 646 something. I go, really? Where are you? And, so
Manhattan.
Yeah, New York. Yeah, it is. But, call us, and we will be happy to talk to you. Or if you don't want to call in to New York to talk to us, then email us. Or... Mm-hmm. You know,
anytime.
Mike is always tweeting. You can tweet him back and all sorts of stuff. So,
I need to do that now.
lots of ways to get in touch with us here. If You are live at 7:04 on Thursday evening, the 11th of August. And then get in touch with us. Otherwise, you're on archives. Speaking of archives, I always get notifications whenever people are checking out the archives or checking out Facebook or anything like that. And over the last couple of weeks, we've had quite a few people that have been checking in on All About Wine, checking the Facebook pages and the archive episodes and stuff like that. So, you know, thank you if you are one of those people and you're out there and just joined us on All About Wine. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate that. And we will try to keep it interesting and timely and give you some information and go, oh, I didn't know that. So,
that's me every Thursday. Every Thursday there's something. It's like, what?
What? I didn't know that. This Thursday we don't. I'm looking at doing a show about sherry, and we will be doing that within the next couple of weeks. I don't know about next week. We're going to be very busy at the winery. We have a luncheon coming in on Tuesday evening, and something we're doing Wednesday, and you know, the schedule's all wacko. But if I get a chance, I'll get it together, and if not, the week after, definitely we'll be talking about sherry. So if you're interested, tune in on that. But tonight, I've just got stuff. Again, just some information for you, different things that might you might find interesting, other things that you might not. But overall, it's all about wine. How about that segue? That was good, I thought. Yeah.
Brilliant.
And thank you. this first came out of Beverage Dynamics magazine. Wine consumption for the last number of years. Starting in 1967, number of gallons consumed of wine by, let's see, how is this broken down? Beer craze is going nuts, so beer is jumping up there. But percentage is relative to decades of wine. Wine lost ground. Spirits lost ground. And wine has grown, so has beer, over the last, the last 40 years, almost 50 years. Wine has jumped up, as have craft beer. But the spirits market is in decline from what it was. The what is this, gallons? I'm trying to figure out. 197 gallons? I'm not sure. 1967. I'm trying to figure out what they mean by gallons. Beer consumption, I guess. In 1967, 197 gallons, which 5.1% of the market was beer. Or, I'm sorry, was wine. Beer was much higher there. And 1972, that jumped up to 327 gallons, or 6.8% of the market. By 77, 401 gallons, or 7%. 82 up to 514, or 7.8%. 87, 591. In 92, that dropped down again. Now, there's no reason to this, but between 1987, wine consumption was 591 gallons, or about 7.1% share of the market. But then in 87, but in 92, what was that, 5 years later, that dropped down to 477 gallons, or only 7.1% of the market. It lost 1.6% of the market in that five-year period. No explanation is given here, but that I thought that was a very strange sign there. In 97, back up to 510, 2002, 584, we're still not up to that 82 level, or that 87 level yet. That is really odd. By 2007, we're up to 9% of the market, or 694 gallons consumption. In 2012, it jumped a lot, 758, or 9.9%. And that by 2014, last year recorded here, 781 gallons or 10.2%. So it is increasing. But boy, we had a little blurb there that was back in the late 80s and early 90s. That was strange. So this interesting stuff. Nice article here that I wish I had found before I talked about brandy and cognac last week, or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was I talked about it. Nice little article on that. But so much for that little thing here. This next thing is just a new wine, Berries and Blossoms. This is the Prestige Wine and Spirits Group out of Minnesota has brought this in. National distribution. It's a Champs de Provence Rosé from the Côte de Provence, and it is available nationwide. Retail price of $17.99 to $19.99. It's a rosé. It is a dry rosé. They describe it as notes of red berries, citrus, and orange blossom, medium body, hints of raspberry, and a little mineral finish. It's a blend of 40% Grenache, 30% Cinsault, 20% Syrah, and 10% Carignan. So, a nice little blend there. But that is available nationwide, $17.99 to $19.99. A little bit of money there for rosé. People have problems spending that for rosé. Don't. There are some great ones out there. And here's another new wine on the market. This is Some Wine, S-O-M-E-W-I-N-E, Some Wine. It's distributed by, in select markets, 1026 Beverage Company. And the founders of Some Cards teamed up to introduce Some Wine. It's a new line based on the popular brand of online cards. Like Some Cards, Some Wine is all about authenticity, approachability, fun, and sharing life's moments with those important to you, the company says. Sourced from the California Appalachian area, the initial varietals are Chardonnay, Red Blend, and Pinot Noir. They also feature screw top closures and the trademark witty insights of Some Cards on the packaging, the company says. So it's launched in 22 markets. It doesn't say where the markets are, but retails for $12.99 for a 750 milliliter bottle. So a reasonable price. If you see it in your market, pick it up. And I haven't seen it in this market, but if you see it in yours, pick it up and drop me a line. Let me know what you think of it, because I haven't had an opportunity to try it yet. Here's something that has absolutely nothing to do with wine, but I saw this and I'm going to share it with you. For the third consecutive year, Coors Light and retired basketball player Kenny the Jet Smith teamed up to refurbish community basketball courts. This is a cool thing. That's why I'm telling you this. Coors Light will donate up to $100,000 to make over community basketball courts in Chicago, New Orleans, and Oakland and Sacramento, California. Legal drinking age basketball fans can participate through the end of this month by using hashtag Full Court Fresh and hashtag Over 21. And Coors Light will donate $1 for each tweet, up to $25,000 for each city. So cool deal. Good for Coors doing something like that. Let's see, what is this one here? This is, let me turn the page. Sparkling wines for all seasons. This is, this little article here, this is out of Beverage Dynamics also. It talks about champagne and some of the big champagnes. Economic recovery has been good to champagne producers, actually, since in the last few years. Shipment to the United States grew to 2014 grew to 1.6 million cases. That's up over 100,000 cases from the previous year. So the big brands, Moët Chandon, Pierre Jardin, Vu, Marquette, all those are growing champagnes. So it's, you know, champagnes are good all the time. I always said American Bubbly, the Moet Hennessy, Domaine Chandon, and some of the other Southern California, Corbell's one of the big ones, Southern California. Corbell's number three overall in volume in the country. Also very successful and very popular new champagne that's been on the market for not real long overall has been the Barefoot Bubbly. We talked to the founders of Barefoot on the program. Wow, it's been a couple of years now. But Barefoot is now part of the E&J Gallo family. And the Barefoot Bubbly has grown 22% over previous year. And they've been continuing that increase. So Barefoot is another, and they're reasonably priced. And that's one of the reasons why they're such a popular brand. Prosecco, Italian. Although some Proseccos, which rely mostly on the Glera grape, gives you a little semi-sparkling. Actually, Frizzante. The vast majority of them are fully sparkly or Spumante, and they run from dry to slightly sweet. The bubbles are most often produced using the Chaumont method, not the classic champagne method. And so those are, you know, the Prosecco is one of the biggest selling wines in this country, or sparkling wines in this country. Now, they've jumped up tremendously, a big boost on it. I'm getting more and more people coming into the winery too who are champagne drinkers, which I think is great. I mean, it's not just for special occasions. It's something that you can enjoy all the time. The champagne, domestic, bubbly, prosecco, and cava are the major categories, but there's others that you might not have heard of, which here's a short, quick list. Italy has numerous sparkling appellations, including in Prosecco. They have, I'm going to destroy these names. Franciacorta produces a sparkling wine known in Italy as the Metodo Classico, the classic method. It's grapes of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. Motodo Classico wines are also produced in Trento, north of Verona. Lambrusco, most of you are familiar with that, from near Modena, is made famous by Rioniti. Now, Lambrusco is the style. There are a number of dry, high-quality examples out there. Lambrusco is a style. It is not a wine, so keep that in mind. Moscato, sweet and lightly or fully sparkling, is produced a lot of places in Italy also. But the best ones you're going to find are going to be labeled Moscato d'Asti. And I've had those. Those are good. Those are fun. Nice to pair with some foods and stuff. Wines are generally low in alcohol and can be quite refreshing, actually. I, like I said, I've enjoyed them before on different occasions, and they're light, and it's, you know, if you're going to have yourself a light picnic or something like that, that might be a really, really interesting wine to take with you. France also has other sparkling wines besides the Champagne, and as you probably know, Champagne comes from the Champagne district, so it's not all over. Cremant d'Alsace and Cremant de Burgundy or Bourgogne can both offer some good sparkling wines there too. The Loire Valley produces several types of bubblies. Saumur, S-A-U-M-U-R, is one of the noted ones there. So those are other ones in France to look for besides just your champagnes. And English sparkling wines have made a boom in years, too. Virtually impossible to find in U.S. stores, but they are exploding in other markets. Georgia, not the state, the country, the former Soviet country, has also a sparkling wine industry, and the wines have started to appear in the United States for that too. So there's another alternative. Look for Georgian sparkling wines. I don't know how they're labeled, but I haven't seen a whole lot of Georgia wines out there. I need to make another visit to Total Wines and see what they have on the shelf, just for fun. And Australia has developed a reputation for sparkling wines. The Yarra Valley outside of Melbourne is the outpost of Moët Hennessy. And Tasmania is coming out with some very good sparkling wines themselves. So there are some alternatives besides just champagne. There's other sparkling wines out there. And cava. I was talking about this other, but I didn't mention cava. That's Spanish. That's your Spanish one. You can find a lot of cava for less than $15 a bottle, and some very pleasant ones, too. So, again, I have said this over and over again. Champagne, sparkling wines, all that good stuff is not just for holidays. It is a great wine to have just about any time, even now in the summer, when you're having events out on the patio in the evening and stuff like that. Pop open yourself a bottle of any of the sparkling wines or cavas, prosecco, champagnes, and everything, and it makes for a very, actually a very, very good complement to a lot of the meals that you may be having. I found this. I think I talked about this in the past, because I see this page. 8 Spanish grapes to, what's that say? 8 Spanish grapes, the thing's folded over here. Let me see what it says. To watch. Here it is. It was folded over and bent. I'm pretty sure I talked about these grapes, and I talked about this stuff. Red grapes by vineyard area in Spain. Tempranillo has 37%. Bobal, B-O-B-A-L, 12%. Grenache, 11. French grapes, 10. And all of this, 30%. And the Spanish grapes exports to the United States, 57% are table wines, 22 sparkling, 17 fortified, and 4 flavored wines like sangrias and stuff like that. So, Spanish wines. I know I've talked about Spanish wines in the past because it's I remember reading about those grapes there. Indiana laws. I saw this. And those of you in Indiana are listening, you say, oh, yeah, But every state has unique laws about alcohol, Indiana being one of them, the Hoosier state. There are some legal requirements and restrictions that retailers face. There's a list of them. Indiana is one of a dozen states that don't allow Sunday off-premise sales. I can bet Kansas and Utah are two others. Packaged liquor stores can sell beer, warm or cold, wine and beer. Convenience stores and gas stations can sell warm beer, but not beer out of a cooler. Drug stores, grocery stores, and big box stores can sell beer, wine, and spirits, but not out of a cooler. So the only way you're going to find cold beer is in a packaged store, packaged liquor store. Package stores can sell warm bottled water and soda, but cold sales can only be made out of a vending machine outside the store. So you can get cold beer in the package store, but you got to walk outside to get a soda out of the machine that's cold. Package stores can open as early as 7 a.m., but must close by 3 a.m. Corks stores, and I think they're talking about Corks Liquors, are open as late as 1 a.m. on the weekends. Permits are given on a quota system, with each incorporated town or city limited to one permit per 8,000 people, although many of the stores were grandfathered in at an earlier 5,000-person calculation. There are no limits on how many permits one person or company can hold. So for 8,000 people, you can have yourself a store permit. And if a wholesaler offers a volume discount to one retailer in the state, it must offer the same pricing to all retailers. So there are some Indiana beverage laws that you might find interesting or strange, however you want to look at them. Let's see. Brand growth. I mentioned, Barefoot earlier. Top seller wines. This is 9-liter cases. And, 9-liter cases is what a 9-liter case is. A case of 12 bottles is 750 milliliters. So that's a regular case. So that equals 9 liters. And that's most of the stuff you find talk about 9-liter cases. Whenever they list stuff, it's usually always the 9-liter cases or equivalents. So, number one in 9-liter cases in 2015 sales in this last full year is Barefoot Cellars out of E&J Gallo. They sold 18,700,000 9-liter cases in 2015. Wow. Woodbridge by Mondavi, closest to it is 9,300,000 cases. So less than half, second place behind Barefoot. Unbelievable. Barefoot is just amazing how much they're doing. Crown Royal is top selling wine and spirits. Crown Royal is next. Fireball, Black Box is on this list too. Jim Beam, Svedka Vodka, Bottle Box is on there. Liberty Creek is on there. Chateau Saint Michel, Hennessy, Burnett's Vodka, then Tito's Homemade Vodka, New Amsterdam Vodka, and then ends up with Menage a Trois from the Trinchero family estate. So 2015, wines are dominating now, like this, and then some of these, and then vodka's in there. Let's see, that's spirit growth. Fast track brands, no, that's not. Great growers, these are number of winters. You're not interested in that. What's this? Okay. So, like I was telling Mike before the show, I found a whole bunch of these papers that I don't know if I ever talked about. I don't believe I did. And I found them, and I was looking through them, and I wanted to share them with you and get them out of here. What's this? What's this? Barcelona, Spain-based wine club, Travels of a Wine Taster. That's the name of the club. They have it in Spanish, and I have no idea how to pronounce it in Spanish. Has introduced a unique designed bag-in-a-box wine package that can be repurposed after using it as a safe toy for toddlers. Packaging design studio Nut Creatives worked with the Travels of Wine Taster to develop the attractive multiple diamond-scored sidewall presentation. They decided to avoid the more typical square box, came up with this odd-shaped box. The concept they devised features triangular foes that can take on a myriad of forms. The wine club's in-house fill seal equipment details were not disclosed. The quality-looking package stands out distinctively. It can make bag-in-a-box wine easy to hang for in-store displays or carry from the store without need of a shopping cart. It's got a little handle. It also offers environmental benefits. After the wine is dispensed, the remaining diamond-scored corrugated can be scissor-cut, reshaped, and taped into various forms that can serve as safe and inexpensive hexagonal block-top toys for young children. So, that's out of Spain. The Travels of Wine Taster, Spanish-based wine club. has this new box, Wine in a Box. Mom's Sparkling Wine Label, truly a work of art. This is out of, packworld.com. Not one of those things I get. Mom's new Rosé Dry Sect has really a pink labels and everything else. It also has three varieties, dry, extra dry, and rosé dry. Very nice. Just pops on the shelf. I'm sure that you will see it if you listen to me and go out and buy yourself some champagnes or something for other than just special occasions. You will see the new Mums bottle. So there's a couple new things. California wine exports reach record high. I mentioned this to Mike before the show here, but U.S. wine exports, 90% of which are from California, so I guess it's out of the country in there, reach $1.61 billion in winery revenues in 2015. That's an all-time record. That's up 7.6% over 2014. California wines appeal to consumers across the globe, and the quality and value of it is really attractive, says the president of the Wine Institute. Consumers are also attracted to California's trend-setting lifestyle, not innovative cuisine, and all this other stuff. Yeah, okay. Of the top 10 export markets for California wines, European Union's 28 member countries were the largest, or could it be 27 members now since England exited? Or, now this is something I don't know, Mike. England exited and it dragged along Ireland and Scotland with them. Were they counted as three different countries or just one? And now is it 25 or is it 27 members? I don't know. Eight European Union members accounting for $622 million in sales, followed by Canada, $461 million. Quite a difference there. Hong Kong, $97 million. Japan, $96 million. China, $56 million. This next one is Nigeria is California export of wine. Nigeria, $29 million. Mexico, $26 million. South Korea, 23. Switzerland, 21 million. And last, Singapore, 15 million in exports. More than 170 California wineries participate in the export market to 138 countries. They have representatives around the world, and it's continuing to grow. California wine exports have increased 91%. By value in the last decade. So, wow. The growth is occurring despite heavy subsidized foreign competitors and high tariffs and strong dollar. So, it's exploding. California wine is exploding as of last year. What's this? I don't know. This doesn't tell me anything. What's this? Why do you keep this? Stillhouse Moonshine. Huh. Well, I don't know why I kept this, but this is The Revolution Begins. Avatar Labs is proud to have collaborated with Stillhouse Spirits Company on their successful website launch. Stillhouse Original Moonshine, America's Finest. And it's looks like it's presented in a little whiskey tin, pocket tin. That's probably why. 40% alcohol by volume, 80 proof. Well, moonshine is more than 80 proof, so that's sort of disappointing. Okay, now, what did I get on this? Smart labels, next big thing in packaging. Smart labels are starting to pop up all around. I know I talked about smart labels at different times because smart labels are really starting to, you're starting to see them more and more on different things. And the RFID code system and the QR code box and all that. All these things are popping up, which is guiding you to websites, which is telling you about the wines, or just all sorts of different things out there for this stuff. So use your smartphone for these things when you're out there. Is that just one page or is that two? Use your smartphone while you're out there and, you know, follow the trail. I mean, there's lots of different things they're telling you about the wines, or it takes you to the winery, or any number of things like that while you're shopping. You don't have to be just reading the back label and trying to find out if you like it or not. And that's really, don't judge the wine that you're buying just on the back label. It's, you know, it's, you can give it a try and something, but the back label can be very poetic and actually tell you nothing about the wine. So don't try to base a choice just on the back label. Speaking of back labels, I'm enjoying another wine that Mike brought me this evening. This is also from Sousvino Winery, also in Grapevine, Texas. And this is Strawberry Blonde. It's a rosé-style wine and grape wine with natural flavors. So it's low in alcohol. It's only 8% alcohol by volume. But open up the bottle, poured it into the glass, and it was like, oh my gosh, I can really smell the strawberries. It was really, really noticeable. It says on the back of the bottle here, though, with a nice handprint, Sousvino's emblem, a flirt and a wink and a coy grin. These are just a few of the wonderful things to expect when you enjoy a glass of, or two of our sensually satisfying strawberry blonde. The tantalizing combination of strawberries and wine will make you purr. So,
is that the one with the woman on the front of the cover?
Sitting in a glass.
Sitting in the glass of, yeah, that's right. Okay, I remember that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This is good. This is it. It's very strawberry. Just like the, what was that last? Oh, peach. Peachy King last week. Very peachy. This is very strawberry. I mean, you know, they do a good job of bringing out the aromas and flavors on those. I'm quite impressed. I'm going to have to make a trip to Grapevine and check some of that stuff out. Yeah. Let's see. Where are we? Oh, I know. If I can find page one on this. This is another I've been telling you here. This is top 100 beverage companies. I would suppose it would come as no surprise that the Coca-Cola company in Atlanta is number one. They have been over and over for years. Anheuser-Busch InBev, number two. PepsiCo, number three. Nestle's, four. Heineken, five. Diego Almendon, six. But it goes on down. But it lists, this is the list of the top 100. But the by category, though, the top 100, juice and juice drinks is the most listed in the top 100. It's 31 different companies. Wine comes in second as the top of 27 different companies. Beer, 25 companies. And tea and ready-to-drink tea, 20 spirits at 17. And then it goes on down from there. I won't read all of them to you. But wine is number two on the top 100 list of companies that are on the top 100 companies in this country of this past year. So, again, wine is ahead of beer and jumping up there. And as always, we always like to see that. You guys are doing your part out there, getting those wine bought and drank. That's good. Here we go. Glass. This is something. Glass companies are starting to, this article says, fight back. we're seeing so many different closures, and I've talked about all the different closures that are out there and all the different things that they're doing and all the different stuff that they're putting in boxes and cans and paperboy and all that. And now the glass companies are saying, wait, it's time to go back to glass. It is better all the way around. It's good. It recycles. You don't have to worry about all this other stuff that is not good for the environment and everything. And so use glass. They're saying 71% of the people say that glass tastes better. And Kathy, bring me a magnifying glass, please. Well, this is... I got my glasses on. I need more than that for this. Oh, I didn't turn my light. Yeah, that's what the problem was. I didn't turn my light on. There we go. Oh, yeah, that's much better. 71% of craft beer consumers say glass bottles offer the best tasting beer. 15% says can, and 14% says no preference. And this article, basically, they were talking about glass wing beer back, but it also mentioned throughout the article wine and how wine is doing different things. And, you know, the pros and cons, the weight of glass, and this is something that, you know, glass can't get away from. It is heavy. Appearance, 59% of craft beer consumers say glass beer bottles have the coolest art and the coolest looks over the cans. 24% says cans do, and 17% don't care. 47% of craft beer consumers say glass beer bottles best tell the story of a brand versus only 19% for the cans. 72% of craft beer consumers say that glass bottles are the best to drink from. Well, that wouldn't apply to wine, I suppose. Maybe it could. And they say that freshness is much better with glass, and it keeps it colder longer in glass than it does in cans. So, you know, the glass companies are getting out there, they're saying, wait a minute, you know, you don't need to switch to all these other alternatives. We are still number one. We can still do the job, and we can still take care of everything. Always, though, wait. And I think when you start shipping and start doing that stuff and start getting glass in, the weight is a factor that we can't ignore, that we can't overlook. I get a truckload of glass in, and the shipping cost is outrageous because of the weight. A white wine infused with green tea. I saw this and I go, huh? Liquid Designs entered, this is for the design on the label, but it is, the product combines a fine wine with the goodness of tea. Steeped is the name of the STEEP'D. Steeped white wine is a premium blend infused with green tea and natural peach flavors. And so, yeah, I don't know. If you see that out there, let me know. I don't know if I would really enjoy that or not. Depends on what they did with the tea, I bet. But, and it says white wine. There's all sorts of different white wines out there. So that doesn't do anything. Oh, there's a new, I didn't know I had this. It's real estate, but I'll do that some other time. We're not ready for real estate yet. And so, I know what else I wanted to talk about here, too. And this is it? Yes, this is it. Anasazi Fields Winery. And I get their email, but they have a Labor Day weekend event coming up Saturday, September the 3rd. In the shade of their apricot tree, they're offering two pairings of wine and food. First will be at 1, the second at 3. The cheeses, nuts, smoked trout, hummus, pita chips, dried fruit, and chocolate will be sampled with different wines to see what works. $15 per person. good price. And then Sunday the 4th, they have a really cool deal here. This is barbecue dinner, which includes barbecue ribs, smoked chicken, assorted smoked sausage, dinner roll, barbecue beans, and collard greens. And peach cobbler will be served with dessert. And along with the peach cobbler will be a 20-year-old peach Sambroso wine. They will have a blues guitarist there, $25 per person. It includes the food, glass of wine, unlimited non-alcoholic drinks. So, cool deal for that, too. And then on Monday, since it's the holiday, they were pouring samples of some of the rare and special wines they've been hiding in their cellar. Included is the 25-year-old pre-commercial apricot and peach wines. So, and then there will also be sampling some older ones that will be available for purchase that day. They have a 96 Lilith Peach, a 98 Raspberry, 2002 Midnight, 96 Plum, and a 96 Sunset. I have no idea, so don't ask me. Plus other events coming up. If you want to subscribe to them, it's Anastasi. FieldsWinery.com. We talked to them a number of years ago, and I get their emails, but they got some neat stuff going on there. Check that out if you're in there. Anastasi Field, I can't remember. What state are they in? It doesn't say here. What? Huh. I guess I'm supposed to know if I get their email, shouldn't I? Oh, well.
New Mexico.
Okay. New Mexico.
Like, yeah. Pasitas, New Mexico.
Okay. So if you're down in New Mexico on there or in that area, check them out on Labor Day weekend. Should be some cool stuff going on there. But I get their email all the time. I'm going to share that email with you. Something else I get on the All About Wine website, and I don't know who signed me up or why this was signed up, but Space Coast Harley Davidson always sends me their emails. Now, I have nothing against bikes. I've never owned a motorcycle, and I know how to ride them, but I just never have owned one. And Harleys, if I was going to get a bike, it would be a Harley. But, oh, my gosh, they're as much as a luxury car now. But I get this email from Space Coast Harley Davidson, and it's sort of cool to see these bikes. But here's let's see, 2016 Harley Davidson pre-owned. Is this the one? Yeah, no. Where is the one I was looking at? Oh, here it is. Harley Davidson True True CVO Road Glide Ultra, $34,377. Pre-owned, $34,377. Oh, my gosh. But I don't know why I get this, but I had to share that at least once with you, that I get these all the time. And then something else I also get, and I read these, and I don't share them with you on the show. A Carl Storchman. He's from New York University. His email, if you want to do this, you can join and he'll send you emails. It's ks120@nyu.edu. A lot of interesting papers. He always sends out a lot of interesting papers. A wine associated, wine connected, and they are very interesting. I read quite a few of them from different people. Macroeconomic determinants of wine prices. For example, does the market structure of grape varieties impact exports performance? A DEA approach. These are the type of articles that he sends. I get these. Every week, on average, I get another one from him. But they're interesting articles. If you want to get into a little bit more of the technical, if you want to, you know, dive a little bit more into some of the backgrounds and stuff here, climate change, California wine and wildlife habitat, climate change and grapevines, study for the Mediterranean basin. These are different types of articles that he has in this. And he has quite a few different ones in there. You guest speakers talking about different things and climate change and how it affects the viticulture and things. So if you are interested, again, I don't get into it. Some of it could be boring, I think, if I were to sit here and start talking about it. But if you're interested in stuff, it's well worth your time to read it. KS120 at NYU.edu, and I'm sure he would be more than willing to add you to his list. You can also follow him on Facebook and on Twitter, either one of those. So I've been wanting to tell you about this for some time, but there you go. It's just interesting. John Holly, I talked to him on the program 4 months ago, the photographer who had a vineyard but no winery. He's been corresponding with me. He sent me a beautiful picture that he took. I have hung up at the winery. Beautiful picture. But he sent me this email. I want to share it with you. Short here. He said, the results of the 2016 New Mexico State Fair have been posted. The Holly Vineyard received 2 bronze medals this year. I'm pleased with the results, except my white Zin was held to a bronze. And I felt that it was worthy of a silver or gold. No regrets, of course, just happened to be part of this annual event. So in the last 11 years, they've received 6 silver and 15 bronze medals. So we are proud. And then he says, try to catch the program when he can. Been traveling and all that. So, John, good job on that stuff. Thanks for the emails. I look forward to them. And, congratulations on your new 2 new bronze medals this year on that. And, keep up the good work. But wanted to also share that with you a little bit. And let's see. Let's talk about a couple of other quick things here. Wow, we're almost out of time, aren't we? I'm not going to do that because that disappeared. Well, and why does it keep loading that? I don't want to load that. I want to load this. There we go. And there, and there. For some reason, the computer's working very well tonight. Like it's supposed to, like you see on TV shows. That's how it's working. I wanted Israel. They're doing a Samaria vineyard. Now, I don't know if I talked to you about this last week or not, but they're doing a Samaria vineyard. It is a tribute, basically. They're planting a vineyard and trying to revive the vineyard legacy of Israel and area. And they're doing well. They got some good plants going, good stuff going, but it's awful dry. They're also planting trees and stuff like that. But the vineyard is doing really quite well. Samaria Vineyard, it's progressing, it's doing well, and as I get more information, I will pass that on to you. But that's, I might have mentioned something. Let's see, there's something here I want to tell you. what was it? Idaho. Here we go. Idaho Rieslings. The Idaho winemakers are really starting to jump up. It cost money to be in the International Riesling Rendezvous Convention in Seattle, $5,000, but the Idaho Wine Commission sponsored half of it for the Idaho wines, and they were thoroughly acknowledged as the quality that they're doing. The Rieslings are doing well in Idaho. They're starting to jump up. And St. Chapelle in Idaho is the largest, and it's, you know, putting out a lot of great Rieslings. Their sister winery, Sawtooth, also has produced 28,000 cases of Riesling this year. And they're winning wines, they're getting winning awards, they're getting their wines recognized worldwide and stuff like that. Idaho's been making wine since the 70s. We've talked to some Idaho wineries too, as a matter of fact. But their Rieslings are really starting to be noticed throughout the wine industry and throughout the world. So it's something that if you see an Idaho Riesling, and the sad thing is, and it really is a sad thing, the sad thing is, of these wines that are being made in all these other states around this country, you can't find them anywhere except almost exclusively in those states. And that really is really too bad. Because we hear about the Idaho Rieslings and we go, oh, wow. But it doesn't do us any good because we'll never get a chance to taste them. So I don't know. If you have a solution, let me know. I think that's it for the night. I talked about a lot of odds and ends and useless little stuff here, but I'm out of notes, so I think we're done.
Okay. now, so this weekend, there's no wine fest, but you do have a wine class on the 14th, on Sunday.
Correct.
Oh, okay. I was wondering, because I don't remember... What did we do last week? Did we say anything about the?
No, we didn't. Oh. We didn't do anything. We cut back to one festival. We usually do two a month, but this month and next month we cut back to one festival, because it is hot and miserable, and vendors have left the state, and so we decided it's just bad. Plus rains, it's just unbelievable. The number of festivals we've had rained out already this summer. They usually rains. The pattern is afternoon rains, and now it's like the rains are coming in at us at like 12:30, 1 o'clock, which is right in the middle of the festival.
Right.
So we decided
to cut it.
Yeah,
it's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. So and the wine glasses are inside, so.
Yeah, they are. They are. So.
Yeah. So that makes it better. Okay, well, let's see, the 14th, so that's this Sunday, and we'll go ahead and run that one and let them know about the wine classes coming up on the 14th of August. Hold on just a second. A minute and 28. And it's not playing. There it is. Hey, this is Mike. Coming up this Sunday at Florida State's Winery, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. is another wine class. That's right. Wine class at Florida State's Winery featuring winemaker, vineyardist, cellar master, and tasting expert Ron Hunt. He shares his experiences and educational knowledge of wine in a detailed 3-hour wine class. It's a lot of fun and a great way to learn something new about wine. Some of the topics that are covered include a brief history of wines, wine grape varietals, wine grape diseases, wine glass styles and uses, cork history, evolution, and uses, oak aging, wine tasting, and rating wines, and my favorite, of course, the sampling of wines and a discussion. It's a great presentation, and it's located in the Florida State's Winery Tasting Room. For more information and to RSVP, which we would recommend, please contact the winery at area code 813-996-2113. Again, Florida State's Winery is Phone number 813-996-2113. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Don't forget wine class this Sunday from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Florida State's Winery. See you there. Yeah, it's right. And if you have a group of at least six or more, and you'd like to schedule a class on a date that's better for you, maybe your organization or company, it's really a great outing to have arranged. You can contact the winery as well and see what they can do, what y'all can do. There you go. Talking to the wine guy here.
Anytime.
Talking to everybody out there. Like, you're not on the show, so see what they can do for you.
You're so used to your radio program.
That's the show, folks.
No, I'm trying to say a promo for Mike here. Mike is on Sky Blue Radio.
Yes, and I am back. Back on
he
schedule.
Is back on Sky Blue. Yes. He was on Sky Blue before, but now he's back on.
A long time ago. Yeah.
A long time. Every Thursday and Friday afternoon from 3 to 5.
Eastern time, yep.
Eastern time.
Yeah, live. He's been doing good.
And he will play your request. He'll text you. He'll talk to you. He will answer your phone calls. He will do any number of things. I connected with him when he was on Sky Blue once before, and then he started. What was it? Last week was your first week, was it?
Yeah, that's when I came back to. Yeah, I think it was last week. Yeah.
So if you're out there, any requests you have, anything, he doesn't care what you request. He'll try to find and play anything for you.
Yeah, that's true. Very cool. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Thursdays and Friday. Getting into it. So. Very cool. What else? I guess that's
it for this. We got any holidays coming up that you can drink wine? No, August. August is dead. I'm looking at my calendar. It's nothing. I mean, not even, pet your pet month or day or anything. Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be soon. But you don't have to wait for a particular day to drink wine. Just drink it.
Exactly.
No designated day for that.
Need an occasion. Just drink it.
That's true. Just drink it. It's good. All right. I guess we will. We may not have a show next week. We're not sure. On the 18th, or we will have a show.
We will have a show, but we may or may not be talking about Sherry.
Ah, there you go. Okay, that's got confused. So I remember you were talking about things that you had to do, and I wasn't sure if that was just no show or what. So we will have a show. We'll see you all on the 18th of August at 7 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we'll go ahead and close the show. And thanks for listening, and we'll see
you all
next week. Yeah, thank you. Have a great week.
Yeah. Bye. See you next week.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida State's Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.
Hit that. Hit that.